We head to the WadeFord.com hotline. Atlanta's Ford dealer. Welcome in Chip Brown, Horns 24/7, host for Texas Sports Unfiltered, and the First Down with Chip Brown on podcast. Chip, a fellow I have known for quite a while, the very best at covering the Texas Longhorns. Chip, how are you doing right now ahead of this big game on Saturday night?
Hey, my man, how are you doing? I'm on fire with this top five showdown. Can't wait.
I feel like people in Austin feel a little bit better about this game than people in Athens and people in Atlanta. There is confidence here, but it's kind of withheld confidence. There's also very much the concern. Are you getting a feeling at all in Austin that there is any little bit of concern about what the Georgia Bulldogs could bring into town?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's real concern because you know, it's Kirby Smart. They're 51-3 in their last 54 games played, all three losses, obviously, to Alabama. But Carson Beck, I mean, this is the best offense Texas will have faced. I mean, Texas looks great on defense. They're number one in scoring, you know, points allowed, 6.3. They're number two in pass defense. The best offense they've faced is 71st in scoring offense. That's Mississippi State. Everyone else they've played, Michigan, ULM, UTSA, Oklahoma, are all below that. And, you know, Georgia comes in 35th in scoring offense with an elite quarterback in Carson Beck. And, you know, these quarterbacks, Quinn Ewers, Carson Beck, they were the Heisman Trophy front runners going into the season. You got to think that they know that this is the game for their NFL resume tapes, for their Heisman Trophy candidacy, and to propel their team, you know, toward the college football playoff, possible SEC championship. I have to think that both of these quarterbacks are going to play at a high level.
Yeah, and Chip, you talked about the Texas defense there and maybe the stats and the numbers, and maybe they're not misleading, right? Like maybe we find out on Saturday night they are up to the challenge, but potentially they are. So if Georgia is going to have success on offense, how do they do that? Is there a specific aspect of the game they can attack? Like what does a good night on offense look like for Georgia?
Yeah, I think you have to be balanced. You have, even if you have to throw to set up the run, I think that's what you're going to have to do because Texas has been really good up front. They've, you know, last year with Tavondre Sweat and Byron Murphy, Tavondre Sweat, the Outland Trophy winner, Byron Murphy, a first-round draft pick of the Seattle Seahawks, the two best interior defensive linemen in college football, according to Pro Football Focus last year. They gave up 2.9 yards per carry last year. This year, Texas is giving up 3 yards per carry. So I think the interior of the Texas defensive line is better than people thought. I mean, Texas has a couple of fifth-year seniors in there, Alfred Collins, Vernon Broughton, and then they brought in Jermaine Lole from Louisville, who's been a revelation, and Bill Norton, former Georgia Bulldog. He was a backup on those national championship teams behind, you know, Jordan Davis, Devontae Wyatt, and Jalen Carter. And he's a sixth-year guy. And he gets to go up against his old team. He had his best game as a Longhorn against Oklahoma. Big number 15 at the defensive tackle position. You got to like those quarterback numbers at defensive tackle, right, Abe?
It looks pretty good to me. I'm hoping maybe here for the Falcons, Matthew Judon with 15 can start to ramp it up as well. It is Chip Brown of Horns 24/7, Texas Sports Unfiltered, and the First Down with Chip Brown podcast. Chip, it looked like for the first time really all season, look, I know you had the quarterback injury, so that aside, but a couple of serious injuries for the Longhorns that are really going to impact this game. You're missing some safeties, maybe a receiver. How are they looking physically there in Texas?
Yeah, I mean, losing Derek Williams, the safety for the season, to a knee injury, that's a big blow because that he had an interception against Michigan. He had the forced fumble and recovery against Oklahoma. That kid's a rising star who was only getting better, and now, you know, part of the depth on that Texas defense, you know, that's a blow. I mean, he was not a starting safety, but he played like a starting safety. So that hurts. And he was a good special teamer as well. Isaiah Bond went out of the Oklahoma game with an ankle injury. And I'm sitting here. I asked Steve Sarkisian today on the SEC coaches call, you know, for a progress report. And he said, yeah, he had a pretty good practice today. So that leads me to believe that he's going to be available for the game on Saturday. I'm hitting refresh on the SEC student athlete availability report that's supposed to come out at 7 o'clock, and it's not out yet. But I think he's going to be available. I talked to a source who said that they expect Isaiah Bond to be in that game, and he has experience against Georgia. He had four catches on the game-winning touchdown drive in the SEC championship last year for Alabama against Georgia. So if you're Texas, you'd like to have that experience on the field.
Well, how kind of you, Chip, to bring that back up and remind us all.
Sorry.
It is Chip Brown, Horns 24/7, the First Down with Chip Brown podcast as well. So when you look at the Texas team, and you mentioned the defense, I know Quinn Ewers is a high-level prospect. What do you think is the team's biggest strength on either side of the ball, but also what do you think is their biggest weakness?
Well, when this offense is going, and Quinn Ewers was outstanding against Michigan, he was not good against Oklahoma, but I think, you know, I've never seen Quinn Ewers put back-to-back bad games together. I mean, even when he went 19 of 49 in his bottoming out performance, three interceptions and a loss to Oklahoma State in 2022, he bounced back with a really good road performance and a win at Kansas State. And then he's not lost a true road game since 2022. And obviously that was a neutral site game last week, but he was not right. He was missing throws he doesn't normally miss. He said Monday that he needed to practice better. He felt like he didn't practice well enough last week, and so it didn't carry over to the game. But, you know, he was asked if there were any lingering effects from the abdominal strain that kept him out of the ULM and Mississippi State games, and he said, it was a little different, but nothing drastic. So I think everyone's kind of keeping an eye on that to see if he's stepping into his throws and is on time and on target. He was not doing those things against Oklahoma, but it didn't matter because the defense was so good. I mean, Abe, they have 11 sacks and 22 tackles for loss in their last two games, both SEC opponents. Mississippi State and Oklahoma. So this defense is getting after the quarterback, and they just inserted Leonga Lafau, a sophomore, number 18 at middle linebacker, to move Anthony Hill over to the weak side and to free him up to move around, to rush the passer. And he posted 11 tackles, 3.5 tackles for loss, 2 sacks, and a forced fumble in game one of that. And so if that's the return on investment, then I think a serious strength. I think the explosiveness of the Texas offense, they have more, 15-yard plus pass plays than any team in FBS right now with 51. And so when they're on, it's explosive. The weakness, their running game takes a while to get going. I mean, and I don't know that it got going against Michigan, but I'll tell you, Quintravian Wisner last week, even though he got popped and fumbled and Silas Bolden recovered it in the end zone for a touchdown, he may have just moved up to RB1 because he really turned in a solid performance, and Texas had one of its best rushing performances. But their running game's been just okay, and they've had a lot of offensive penalties. I mean, you know, they had 8 offensive penalties against Mississippi State. They had 7 offensive penalties against Michigan. They've had to convert a lot of third and longs. They've got to get that cleaned up, because against Georgia, you can't live like that.
Chip, final question for me. I want to see if you kind of fall in line with my thought process. The scary thing for me about the Georgia Bulldogs is, like, in multiple aspects of what they try and do, they haven't played anywhere near their best, and that goes offensively and defensively. What would scare me about the Georgia Bulldogs is if they actually put it all together in Saturday night, they can win this game.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. I mean, this is the preseason number one team in the country. They're 51-3. I mean, you don't go 51-3 in your last 54 games by accident. I mean, this is a talented Georgia roster. My question is the culture the same as it's been? Because, you know, but you got the speeding incidents that continue to kind of crop up, and then, you know, I don't know. I know Tate Ratledge is injured. It doesn't look like they have the calming voices or the voices to get in the faces of the rest of the team to get everyone on the same page. And I thought their comeback against Alabama was unbelievable. You're down 28-0 at Alabama, and you come back and get the lead. Like, there's big time talent on that Georgia team. And if they do put it all together Saturday night, then it could be a wake-up call for Texas.
Well, Chip, I know people here said this before and after the Alabama game. I think they're going to say it either way, before and after the Texas game as well. May not be the only time that these two teams play this season, and if that is the case, I'll be sure to have you back on.
Okay, you got it.
Thanks so much, Chip. Always appreciate the time there.